What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station today on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Derek and Zach. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
Good morning, everybody. I feel like it's got to be like one of the most Mondayest Tuesdays that I can remember.
It's got that feeling, doesn't it?
It's got that feeling, but also Tuesday is the worst day of the week anyway.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Thank you. Yes, it is.
Mondays sometimes have some solace to them.
You maybe had like a good Sunday, just a day off, not doing too much.
And then like, or even ready, the three-day weekend. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's the Sunday of the three-day weekend.
Yep.
Nothing good about Tuesdays.
No, that's absolutely. I've been on that fight for years. I don't always bring it up. Tuesdays, easily, of the 7 days, the worst day of the week. Easily. Especially because could you imagine having a Tuesday off? Who cares?
You're just back to work on Wednesday.
You're back to work on Wednesday, and you still got three more days. Brutal.
Yes. So even today, though, Mondayest Tuesday that there's been in a while, and we're just getting started, baby, because Gabe Davis
is going to be visiting with the Bills after his visit with the Steelers today. He will then be visiting with the Bills tomorrow. We'll see if that means anything. He may not even sign with them. I also don't think even if he does, it'll be for a meaningful role.
I guess. Ready?
Quote unquote.
It's fine if it happens. And there's plenty to talk about with this.
So 803-0550, the number to call. You want to jump on. We will also get a word in with Sal Capaccio as the Bills got back to practice, or they are going to, get back to practice today. McDermott speaking at noon. We'll hopefully get a word in on some of the guys like Jordan Hancock, who left Sunday's game with a shoulder injury. We'll see how he's at. Also, of course, did want to mention some stuff on the defense as well. I threw it up on Twitter, you know, as we go into this final preseason game. How are we feeling on the defense as a whole? I know there was a lot of people very stressed out after a 38-0 loss to Chicago. Look, did I like the game? No. Am I all that worried? No. And to a certain extent, that even kind of contributes to Cole Bishop. Like, for me, with him, it's less of a worry that he's bad. It's more of a worry of I simply still don't know what he is. He played with all backups and only started practicing like 2 or 3 days prior to that, so I don't know.
By the way, we've got official roster moves from the Buffalo Bills this morning, just a couple minutes ago, announcing officially they've signed Jarvion Howard, running back, and wide receiver Grant DuBose. They've placed running back Darrington Evans on injured reserve and waived cornerback to Corey Couch and seventh-round draft pick Caden Prather.
That was tough. Prather played on Sunday, did he not?
Correct.
Yeah, but he was dealing with injuries earlier. He's a seventh-round pick. That's tough. But also, when you are a good team,
your seventh rounders are oftentimes going to have a harder time making the roster.
Yeah, I think absolutely. Again, Sal Capaccio will be joining the show in just about a half hour. Real quick, though, before we get to your calls here, do want to give also some thoughts on potentially Gabe Davis coming back. I think for me, where I'm at with Davis is, look, he was a great value pick for the Bills as a fourth rounder out of UCF. They got good years out of him. The problem started to develop when they saw him as a clear-cut number two receiver next to Stephon Diggs that never really materialized. He was not a volume target guy either. The 1 year he had the volume targets in 22 with 93, he only had 48 catches. Was never a 1,000-yard guy. That's fine. It's not really what they were asking him to be, but it started to get worse. His last season with the Bills was not good. There were many times where him and Allen did not look like they were on the same page. There were many games where he was just a complete, utter non-factor.
There were donuts.
And for me, at least personally, I would much rather put trust into a young guy like Tyrell Shavers. I'm saying young guy. I think him and Gabe are around the same age. But Tyrell Shavers, who not once this offseason has made me think he can't get the job done. Now, I will ultimately say, though, I think Davis, if he is to sign with the Bills, is a practice squad guy. He is somebody that if Shavers or Coleman got hurt, you bring him up, and then either Shavers takes up Coleman's spot or Gabe would take up Shaver's spot with Coleman still playing. I think that's ultimately what it would be for. There are some positives to Gabe's game. Great blocker, the whole thing. He's a very good downfield threat. But also the Bills' offense has somewhat gone away from it. So I it's not a move that's going to move me.
And it shouldn't. It really shouldn't for anybody at this point. Like, that's really kind of the basis of what we're going to say about this, and I'm sure that plenty of people will have things to say about this. For me, I mean, if you're going to add someone to stash on the practice squad, you could do worse.
That is right. That is absolutely right. You could do, I mean, far worse. And he's somebody that knows Allen. He knows the system. It's not a completely new spot for him.
But also, if he is as injury-riddled as he's been and he hasn't been able to get a spot on a roster because of his injuries, it might be worse.
Yeah. 803-0550, the number to call. And let's right away get connected to our fans, brought to you by Northtown Kia. Shop online at northtownkia.com. We'll start today with Louie on the line. Louie, how are we doing today?
Good. Yourself?
Doing well.
Good to hear. So I kind of want to talk about the whole Gabe Davis situation. I mean, I get that he's comfortable with Buffalo. He's played here. He's had, obviously, his best years with Josh Allen and a portion of his best years with Joe Brady. But what would that look like for the rest of our offense? We already have a bunch of receivers like Laviska Shenault and Tyrell Shavers. And Tyrell Shavers himself has looked quite nice in camp and then preseason thus far. So what would that entirely do to him if we did sign Gabe Davis, along with what would that contract look like? Would it be like a player-friendly, so we kind of hope that he can get back to his old form, kind of like what we gave Tre'Davious White? Or is it just going to be, we're just going to give him 1 year, $4 million, and put him on the practice squad? What does that look like?
It's more toward the latter, Louie. Thanks for the call. And I think it's, I wouldn't even say that it would even be $4 million. I think you're probably looking at vet minimum for him right now.
Yeah, right around $1 million.
His value is as low as it can get right now in terms of contractual value.
Mm-hmm.
And I also think of that as exactly how you ended the call, a practice squad guy. He would become insurance for Shavers as insurance for Coleman on the outside, an X. He would need to be an X receiver. And that's exactly where you'd want him there. Strictly, solely third on that list in case there are injuries to both Coleman and Shavers. Well, first of all, if that's happening, we've just got a hell of a season ahead of us.
Right.
But second thing is that he at least is coming in day one ready to go. If he's healthy. And by the looks of it, I don't think that's the case.
That's sort of where I'm at, too, because there was a report. Let me get the reporter's name here real quick. But the reason why he's having another meeting with Jerry Dulac, and he is with the Steelers for the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, he reported that he's having a medical follow-up with the Steelers today. That's why he's going back. Steelers had medical concerns when Davis visited the previous time. And that's kind of something that is hamstrings his whole career, is when he's picked up injuries, it has very much tanked his seasons. And if he's not healthy now, number one, it kind of tells you why he hasn't been on a roster, why Jacksonville very quickly moved off of him. I mean, remember early in the offseason, this is when Liam Cohen was first brought in as head coach.
Right.
He went through like nine receivers on the Jaguars, never once mentioned Gabe Davis. So most people kind of saw it as, okay, he's out. But he named like everybody else, and then they moved off him. It never worked for him in Jacksonville. He also, I think, picked up an injury there as well.
He did get hurt that ended his season. It's the only time he played less than 15 games.
Yep. But so that's the thing. In almost a way, a lot like Josh Allen. He'll play through injuries, but where Josh Allen can kind of hide it and still play well, Davis not so much. Davis plays through him, but you'd argue it's hurting the team more than helping.
It's definitely a detriment to him and his skill set at that mm-hmm. point too. You do commend a player though for trying to do that.
Of course,
like that is the one thing about it. But also the Bills, if he's playing through an injury, for example, though, you got to recognize how much of a hindrance does it become.
Mm-hmm.
And for him to in that 2023 season have several donuts, zero catches, 0 yards throughout that season, it tells you that, no, he doesn't really have as much chemistry with Josh Allen as you'd think. It almost becomes a little bit of a fallacy of sorts.
And I think because he was a boom or bust guy. You have, you know, the Pittsburgh game from a few years ago. He has the 98-yard touchdown, and that's really cool. Of course, 13 seconds where he's 200 yards and 4 touchdowns. He has had those moments. He has also been a good playoff performer for them. I don't want to discredit that. He has been. Him on the sidelines was incredible.
Right.
You look at his first playoff game with the Bills and their first one at home in years against the Colts. Going into halftime, he has like 2 or 3 sideline catches where you're like, what is happening here? But there were also moments where just he completely disappeared from the offense. They never found a way for him consistently to be a guy that was getting 6, 7, 8 targets in a game, just justifying being able to throw the ball to him. And I think especially now in an offense that has really moved away from the one guy, you need to be able to get open on a consistent basis. So Allen's going to get you the ball quickly. That's why they changed up who's on this team this year for the offense. It's why they've gone to Josh Palmer, who gets open at a very good pop. Khalil Shakir already here. But it's why they've also added Elijah Moore. Is these guys get open quickly to get the ball to them quickly. That's never been Davis's game.
And Davis, it was the second half of that 2023 season. He is effectively a ghost. He only catches 2 touchdowns from week 9 on. And there are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 games from week 9 to the end of the season where he has 0 catches for 0 yards. Mm-hmm. There's one game in there where there's 2 games in there that he peppers in, you know, big play Gabe. The 2 games that he has a touchdown in that stretch. Philadelphia, 105 yards. And the Chargers, 130 yards. When you say boom or bust, you are not kidding. There are booms, but then those games are also surrounded by 0 catches, 0 yards.
Mm-hmm. Let's go back to the phones. Dave is up next. Dave, how are we doing?
All right, how's it going?
Doing well.
I think I kind of know the answer from your conversation. I was going to ask, who would you rather have on the team? And let's assume Gabe's healthy. Gabe or Terrell Shavers?
Yeah, it's Shavers for me. It is.
Shavers?
Okay. Yeah. And, it's a fair question to ask because of the fact that – thank you for the call, Dave. It's a fair question to ask because of the fact that it is insurance, though, on the outside. You want players that are able to play on the perimeter. And Davis did do something for you. He's only 25. Sorry, now 26.
Mm-hmm. Still young, though. Still young.
Still only 26. You'd think, the way we're talking about him, he's ancient. No. But in the NFL, careers do die relatively fast. And if this health concern is really still there, I mean, look out. But it's a consistency thing with him. And the other thing about that is, do note, remember how I said from week 9 onward, he has 5 games with 0 catches, 0 yards? Week 11 through 17 is Joe Brady.
So in a way, you could almost say they figured out a way to move on. And to be fair, we all kind of knew that season 2, he's not coming back. And so in a way, he's almost phased out. We talked a lot about that season with Stephon Diggs being phased out. In reality, it was kind of everybody. They were changing their offense.
But Gabe Davis does not particularly play well in Joe Brady's offense. That's the other portion to this.
Mm-hmm.
He has 2 pop games because that's how you get a moniker of Big Game Gabe. But it is all or nothing with him. That Philadelphia game where they lose in overtime, Davis gets the ball thrown at him 12 times. He does only come away with 6 of them.
And I think I'm remembering this game correctly, too. There is a play, and this is where, for me, yeah, it's this game. This is where, for me, I was like, I'm done. They need to move on. Allen throws a pick because him and Davis are not on the same page of which way Davis is going to cut.
Yep.
And that's, and again, it's a single play, and it's really a single season where I do kind of push back on the chemistry stuff. But it was that for me where Now, we've been at this long enough that he should know which way Allen's going to want him to cut. I'm out. I'm done. And again, like this would really just be for, at most, wide receiver five. Likely a practice squad spot.
And if he's wide receiver five, we've got bigger questions that need to be asked.
And on that, if it is for wide receiver five, you will probably see me get upset. Shavers has done nothing this offseason that would warrant them going, I don't trust him. He's been the only consistent positive every day.
I would say it might not be about Shavers. It might be about Moore and Samuel.
So are you saying then that Shavers is like wide receiver four? And that he's like really got a spot on this? Because that's the thing I've been waiting to see if he's earned.
If Gabe's wide receiver six, for example, though, they move on from a Moore or a Samuel.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I say. It's more of a bigger indictment on one of those two than it be necessarily about moving Shavers up to even potentially wide receiver four.
We
have six guys, and one of you ain't making it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not because Tyrell Shavers alone is doing this. It's because we don't like what we're seeing.
Yeah, that's the thing, too. I mean, we all know how much of an Elijah Moore stan I've been. I've yet to see a single thing since training camp has started that has made me go, there it is. That's the guy I saw in Cleveland last year. That's the guy I saw at Ole Miss. I've yet to see it.
The worst part is that there was one play like that, but it doesn't get registered to anything.
Right, so like, how much can I take? I know the coaches will love it, but how much am I going to take away from
right.
it? Especially when it's now a single play.
I will say, it is hilarious to me, though, that the preseason ultimately does screw with people so badly around here. Us included, everybody.
Mm-hmm.
You look at players and you go, hey, this guy might be good. And then like in preseason, they don't show up or anything. And it's like, okay, I guess we sat through that for no reason at all. And that's just what happens. It happens everywhere, but also it just, I think particularly here, because the biggest part of an evaluation, for example, with a receiver on a roster would be their chemistry with Josh Allen. The man does not take a snap in the preseason.
No.
This will go two straight years where he does not do it. And it turns every Bills preseason game into a circle of hell that nobody can fathom.
Yeah, they all look kind of
bad. For their entertainment.
Yeah, they all look kind of bad. I mean, it wasn't brought up, I don't think, during either the pregame on Sunday or even the postgame, but the Bills had played the Bears last year in the preseason.
And it was ugly then, too.
It, also a bad game, 33-6 or 33-9. It was one of those
33-6.
Games. 33-6. Yeah, it was terrible. And that was against what ultimately turned into a bad Bears team. The Bills have told you they don't really care about the preseason. They don't take it all that seriously.
They do, but they don't worry about the on-field product outpacing another team.
Well, for me, I think they care more about practice by quite a margin.
Yes.
Like even, and I heard yesterday at One Bills Live, Chris Brown was talking about this, and one caller said that, you know, by all accounts, the Bills, you know, whooped the Bears in the practice, and Chris pushed back and he goes, I wouldn't say that. It was a competitive practice.
But they got more out of that than the preseason.
But they
game.
Got more out of it, and they threw in the backups. And the backups didn't play well. Like that's really it. The backups didn't play particularly well.
It's when the backups played the backups, and they still weren't playing well. Yeah, it's just not your night, guys.
I will say, though, on the Josh Allen not playing, it is funny that in the last 2 years, I think the team did want him to have at least some reps. But last year, you have the terrible weather in Pittsburgh that they're like, we're not throwing him out there. Are you kidding me?
We're not putting him on that field in these conditions.
And then this year with Chicago, it was, well, what if they had a bad practice on Friday? He probably does play a little bit.
He probably does play a little bit.
On Sunday, because that was the whole basis of not knowing if Stars were playing on Friday, is the team wanted to get through the practice first. That's my only thing in up to this point, because we're talking about receivers here. I would have liked to have seen how Tyrell Shavers and Allen look, because they're, again, Shavers, it's been like every day since camp started.
Him and Coleman.
His stock has gone up. It's looked good. Even as bad of a game as it was against Chicago,
he still shined.
Even in a play he doesn't actually register a catch, he burns his man and he goes deep, and Mike White just misses him. Like, he has consistently shined.
Which we've seen Josh Allen miss deep balls too.
Right, so I'm not going to say that Josh is going to nail him.
Not that I'm defending what I watched on Sunday, but you know, that happens too, though. Like, it's a low percentage play that does happen to even the best of the best. But for Shavers, that is a good rep. Like, that's an important rep. That's something that you want to have on tape. But yeah, this preseason is kind of, I don't know about testing the mettle of Bills fans, but I don't know what to put it under. It is, though.
It's the preseason being a good team. It's an awful experience every time.
I will tell you right now, though, here's how to help get people to relax. Cincy's defensive starters look probably as bad as your backups did against the Bears.
And you did also see Cincy, their starting quarterback, their star boy, Joe Burrow, get ragdolled. And that
rocked
just,
around.
That for me more than anything. We'll get back to your calls here in just a moment. But that for me more than anything. I only watched the first half of that game. And that's all I need to see. Why was Burrow back in after the horrific sack he takes where he's running around? He goes back almost to like the 1 yard line before going down.
You hear Troy Aikman say, it's August, Joe. Go down.
I'm just like, no, I'm good. This can all go away. I want to keep it for the fans, for the families to have cheaper tickets, but I'm good. This can go away. This is so ridiculous.
Which is hilarious because you see what that game was like, Joe Burrow running around, getting knocked around. Jaden Daniels. As Rich Eisen
runs into for a touchdown.
As Rich Eisen put it last night on SportsCenter, hearts and throats. What are you doing? It's preseason. But he then on the sidelines goes, I wanted to score.
Yeah, wanted to score.
Tell me Josh Allen doesn't have the exact same mindset. There's a reason at this point he doesn't play the preseason games. It's to protect that man from himself.
803-0550, the number to call. We go back to the phones. Matt is with us next. Matt, how we doing?
Good. Good morning, guys.
Good morning.
I got kind of an out of the box sort of scenario for you.
Sure.
All right. So you probably remember there was this high school coach down in like down south, like Georgia, Alabama, or whatever. Like he would never punt. Period. Like not fourth and one, not fourth and 20. Their team just never punted, and they ripped off many state championships, and. What had happened was basically the other D coordinators and the other team, if you consistently do that and the other team knows you're never going to punt, it's going to change how they defend. It's also going to change your offense's mindset. Now, that's not what I'm suggesting, but I brought this up to a buddy of mine a couple of years ago, and him and I hardly agree on anything, but he actually agreed with me. And Jeremy earlier was talking about, we may carry six wide receivers. Why not have one wide receiver every single down just run a 40-yard dash down the field? Every down. And if the opposing teams know that, they have to account for that. And that might take, you know, a QB, or I'm sorry, a cornerback and a safety, like right out of the equation right there.
Appreciate that. The thing is that those are sort of spacing concepts that do exist. It's not always just fastest guy down the field and go, but spacing concepts do exist. It's actually kind of why I hated Ken Dorsey's offense so much, because spacing was not a concept.
Guys were regularly clogged up.
Guys were in their same area, and that's part of why the 2023 offense dipped in production the way that it did, is because wide receivers were in the same place and Josh Allen would get picked off because he's throwing it for Davis, and the guy who's covering Diggs is in the area because there was no spacing. Spacing concepts, what you're talking about, it's a real thing.
I think I saw, too, it was a Bears reporter.
In 2019, the Bills did that with a fullback.
They did do it with a fullback.
Josh Allen threw it to him.
But on the spacing stuff, I think it was a Bears reporter on Friday mentioned that Keon Coleman is going to cause a lot of people to get open. He's dragging, you know, linebackers and the safeties to him when he's not the short route kind of guy.
That's called good offensive scheming.
So that works. On the fourth down stuff, I think it's Kevin Keeley you're talking about. He was a head coach in Arkansas. Yep. He's jumped around. I knew of him. I had to look him up because I know of him. Right. Just not his name off the top of my head. On that, it's not that we're getting close to that of just never punting, but you have already seen the NFL change that. It's fourth and one past the 50, and depending on your team, most people assume you're going for it.
Not to mention, the Bills are one of the more aggressive sorts in that endeavor.
We already have kind of gotten to that point of it's not never punting, but it has very quickly become, if it's fourth and two in on your opponent's 40-yard line, there's a really good chance you're going for it.
And it's a philosophy difference of, say, a Pittsburgh versus a Buffalo. The Bills, 4th and 1 on like the 42-yard line of enemy territory, they're going for it. Pittsburgh, it could be 4th and 1 on the 39 and Mike Tomlin wouldn't pass up the opportunity to punt that football.
And it also kind of shows which teams are succeeding and which teams are kind of treading water at this point. 803-0550, the number to call. Want to give your thoughts on the Bills potentially bringing back Gabe Davis. He is expected to have a workout with the Bills tomorrow following wrapping up his workout with Pittsburgh today. Also threw it up on Twitter as a bit of a question because it was the hot button topic. Do you think the Bills have done enough on defense going into the final preseason game of the year? We'll also get your thoughts on Twitter. But coming up after a quick timeout, we'll get a word in as the Bills return to practice with Sal Capaccio. That's all coming up next here on the Northtown Automotive X Point Show on WGR. Welcome back, everyone. Continuing our number one of the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show here on a Tuesday. The Bills head off yesterday. They get back to work this morning. Bills head coach Sean McDermott expected to meet with the media around noon. And with that, we go now to the Western Hotline. Sal Capaccio joins us this morning. Sal, how we doing?
Pretty good. Good morning to you. Yeah, lots of news and things coming down here, I guess, this morning with the Bills.
Right? Huh? We do have a little bit of it. The Bills have made a number of roster moves because we'll get to Gabe Davis, of course. But the Bills have actually announced some stuff as well, including waiving a few guys, including this year's 7th-round pick, Caden Prather. And they've also signed guys, including a wide receiver, Grant DuBose.
Yeah, so let me start with Caden Prather because he obviously was a 7th-round pick and, you know, wide receiver position. And the Bills, you know, didn't really address earlier in the draft, obviously, but they did make a couple free agent signings. They grab him a little bit later, late in the draft. So here's how it works with both Caden Prather and cornerback Tecori Couch, who I really like and, you know, put together another nice camp in preseason. Didn't think he was going to make the team, but a nice player to have in reserve. So here's how it works with both of them. Because they are both less than 4 years in the league, they have to go through waivers first before you can put them on IR. So in this situation, so both guys will go on waivers. Any team can claim Caden Prather. Any team can claim Tecori Couch. They know that if they claim them, they're hurt right now, right? So what you, most teams aren't going to do that because, you know, what use would they be of that team right now to claim and put them on their roster? So then once they clear waivers, if and when they do, they'll revert back to the Bills tomorrow, like noon. And then the Bills can put Caden Prather on injured reserve for the season. He can't play with them, but they can at least stash him away for a year. You know what I mean? So that's the process, how it works. So Caden Prather could still be on the Bills this year on injured reserve and just not play and get a redshirt year kind of to recuperate. Same thing with Tecori Couch. Or they could give him an injury settlement sometime down the road. That's what they did with Bale Inspector. So Bale Inspector, you know, he went through the process. The Bills didn't keep him. They gave him an injury settlement. They signed Jarvie and Howard. And they signed Grant DuBose. My guess is because they also, by the way, placed Darrington Evans on injured reserve. The difference there is Darrington Evans has been in the league longer than 4 years. They can go right to IR with him. So Darrington Evans is on injured reserve. So we'll see how that looks. There could be an injury settlement down the road for him, or he can just stay on IR. You need people to get through this week, guys. That's what a lot of this is about. You need a running back. You need a wide receiver. They need guys to take reps this week. They need guys to play in the game against Tampa this week. So a lot of that is what these moves are about.
Yeah, considering, Sal, especially because of the fact that the starters most likely are not going to play one more time around here. Mm-hmm. And that would even mean not having Ray Davis or Ty Johnson suiting up again. So Frank Gore Jr. can't be the only healthy running back for that game. So that is an understanding of itself there. But, Sal, on that, like, we watched a game last night where the Bengals and Commanders, they have starters in. Quarterbacks are taking hits. Hearts are jumping into people's throats. And then you also see then there's the Bills, a team that has now kind of pivoted toward Sean McVay and the Rams thinking of how frequently are you playing the starters? Not frequently at all. Maybe they get one game as of late over these past 2 years.
Yeah, I mean, everybody's different, right, in how you look at it. And the Bengals have not started the season very well. I think they've gone 0-2 and even 0-3 maybe in an instance here over the last few years. So I think they've kind of pivoted and said, let's give our guys a little bit more time in the preseason together on task. That includes Joe Burrow, but you see the risk. Joe Burrow gets kind of pounded a little bit last night, and that's just been a theme of Joe Burrow's tenure in Cincinnati right now, which is, you know, taking too many hits, and the offensive line hasn't been completely fixed. So there's always that balance there, right, of what is best for your team. There's been times in the past where the Bills have played their starters and Josh Allen. In fact, I think he's played every preseason here, at least somewhat, maybe last year. Yeah, last year, even in the first game, I think he played a series or a few plays at least. He was going to play in that second preseason game last year against Pittsburgh, but the field was wet. They didn't put him on the field. Doesn't look like that's going to be the case this year. Josh said last week, he said, I don't need preseason work, but if Sean McDermott feels that's what is best for the team, then I'll do it. So I think every team is different, right? And you just don't know what every team needs in that particular situation. And I think every team year to year is different based on the coach and what he thinks the roster needs for a young group, an older group, a veteran group, guys that are injured. So right now, I think based on what we saw Sunday, A, that the starters all did not play. It's been two games. And B, that the backups did not play well. I think you're probably looking at them playing again because you need to get them more time and you need to properly evaluate.
I had completely forgotten that Allen had played last year in that Chicago game. I for the life of me, Sal, I thought this was going to be 2 years in a row that he hadn't played in the preseason. But yeah, he went 2 for 3 for 22 yards against Chicago. That was the last time he played in last year's preseason. Speaking of, though, Chicago, and you mentioned the starters didn't play for the most part on Sunday. One, though, did, Cole Bishop. Sal, we talked about him in the pregame, kind of wanted to see a little bit from him. He's sort of an unknown to a lot of us. It wasn't a great game. I will say, though, having slept on it a little bit, he may have said this outright in the postgame, but Sal, I thought that may have been for more him, just to get his legs underneath him, get him some, you know, essentially live bullet reps kind of deal, rather than actually wanting to see anything substantive from him.
I wonder how they play it this week. My guess is right now on a depth chart, he's still, you know, listed as a, in fact, the Bills actually did have their game notes out, and I think that he is still listed as a starter. But, you know, guys, I mean, this is to a point now where you're going to have to start really figuring out what Cole Bishop can do for you, how much time he needs on task. Is he ready for that? And what is behind him? What else you have? And I thought it was really interesting that Sean McDermott said in the postgame presser, we have to see what we have there, see what we need. What does that mean? Does that mean going outside the organization? Does that mean what they have in their roster? Complicating matters is the fact that Jordan Hancock has looked good, but he got hurt. Mm-hmm. He got hurt in the game. Now, maybe he's going to be fine. We'll see. He indicated after the game to us that, you know, he thought that he'd be okay, but he still has to get imaging done on his shoulder. So when we go out to practice today at 12:30, when we hear from Sean McDermott at noon, hopefully we'll get an update on Jordan Hancock. It wouldn't surprise me if he's not practicing today, but hopefully he's nothing long term. But even one practice missing, that's time there where maybe you could get more of a look at him. Every day matters here right now. Every day matters to all these guys, including Cole Bishop, including Jordan Hancock, including Taylor Rapp, including Damar Hamlin, everybody. Cam Lewis, who's been out, right? We know they know what Cam Lewis can do, but because of the numbers right now, because of the injuries, because of what you've seen or haven't seen at safety, you have to start figuring out what it looks like week one. I guess the optimistic news would be you do have 3 weeks, a little bit less than that. That's time to get practice, to get more time on task, to simulate things, and hopefully you get to a better spot of what you've seen so far from Cole Bishop on the field. But yeah, I think any Bills fan who watched Sunday, who knows the history here of him having the injury last year and this year, is probably feeling uneasy, and I don't blame him for that. But it doesn't mean it has to be that way for, you know, the foreseeable future or long term.
Sal Capaccio joining us here on the West Hare Hotline. Sal, Gabe Davis reportedly going to get a visit, mm-hmm, with the Bills after he visits with the Steelers today. Does this have some sort of indictment on the bottom of the depth chart, or is this a potential shaver's insurance or practice squad stash written all over it?
Well, I don't think it's for practice squad. I mean, I doubt Gabe Davis is coming here to sign for a practice squad spot, you know, or anywhere, to be honest with you. Like, that's not, I mean, unless he gets somewhere in the season and he just can't find a job, but that wouldn't happen now. You can't even put anybody in the practice squad right now. That would be something that you'd have to do a week from today at 4 o'clock when 53-man roster. I think people have to be very careful about thinking there's this calculated shavers or this spot, number this receiver. If and when it appears the Bills are bringing in Gabe Davis for a visit, to me, first thing is, let's see if he's healthy. That's what a visit's about. Gabe Davis was released with an injury settlement, right? Or released with an injury designation, I should say. Not settlement, with the Jacksonville Jaguars. That means he was released with an injury. He did not, he got hurt last year, and then it just muscle lingered into this year. So he has not been healthy. And I'm suspecting, guys, part of the reason he hasn't signed anywhere is because he, A, wants to make sure he gets healthy, doing his own rehab, doesn't have to be at a team facility. He can do it on his own, do everything he can. Think about it this way. Let's put yourself in Gabe Davis's spot. If you are rehabbing from an injury, you could sign with a team and have 90 guys who are in the practice facility every day and with the training staff getting treatment, or you get it done on your own, you get as healthy as you can, and then you go and sign with a team. That's probably where it's coming from Gabe Davis and how he's trying to approach it. From the Bills aspect of it, I don't think it has to be Shaver's insurance or number this or for Curtis Samuel. I think it's, hey, this is a guy who knows our system. This is a guy that we've trusted. He's won the Iron Bill Award 2 years in a row. We know he's a hard worker. He checks all those boxes. Let's see if he's healthy. And because he's out there, do we want to bring him in to compete for a roster spot and then see where things fall? I think that's more what it's about. I don't think that Gabe Davis, you know, if he comes to Buffalo, unless he wows him and says, oh my God, my knee's incredibly healthy and they work him out, then maybe you look to sign him. That might be, to me, this reads like something where he comes in, you check on him and say, maybe we revisit it in a week after we get down to our 53 and see where we're at. Then we see what everything else is around the league. Guys, a week from now, lots of guys are going to be available in the mm-hmm. league, right? You're going to have all these guys. This is a reconnaissance kind of thing, right? Where you look at it yep. and you say, where are we with this? And maybe the Steelers like Gabe enough where they do that. And then you look at the money. You guys were talking about vet minimum. I would agree for this reason. Gabe Davis is already making $11 million from the Jags this year. He's been paid. He got paid in March, and then they released him in May. Like, he doesn't need to sign for the cash. To me, this is, you can basically just sign him to a vet minimum. He's already making that plus $11 million this year.
And real quick, because I also have something on the Steelers with that too. He still falls under $1.1 million, right? Because it's like 4 to 6 years. It's $1.1 million is the vet minimum, I think.
I would have to look at that. That sounds right off the top of my head, yes. Because I think that if you're first several years, I think the minimum, like for guys is now like right around $1 million now. Yeah. So 1.1, 1.2, it might be 1.5 actually, because the way it works. But I think you can also do a, what they call a veteran salary cap relief type thing sometimes, where you get a little bit of break on these guys. So you are talking, I would say, Zach, between 1.1 and 1.5 probably, somewhere in there.
And then the report out of Pittsburgh actually is that they did have medical concerns the first visit with Davis, and so that mm-hmm. would kind of point to they maybe want to do another checkup on him. Or I think also to Sal with the Steelers, I think if he does come up clean there, I really could see the Steelers signing him. They need help at number two receiver once they lost Pickens. You know, for the Bills, I think the Bills, it would be, you know, let's see what he's got. I think for the Steelers, there might be a genuine roster need there.
Yeah, I mean, I don't disagree with you, you know, and they Gabe Davis could fit right in, and he's, you know, look, he would be a willing blocker, and that's something that they would love in Pittsburgh. There's no doubt about that. So every situation's different, right? I mean, if you're Gabe Davis, you have to evaluate all of it here. If you're Gabe Davis, do you look at the Bills roster, though, and say, I don't think I can play? Like, I don't think you do that. I'm not saying he can or can't. I mean, I'm just saying put yourself in his position. I mean, he was the number two to Stephon Diggs here for three, 4 years, right? So if you're him, you might – and that included, by the way, having Cole Beasley on the team. I just think that, you know, sometimes we read so much into these things where let's take a step back and say, what is the visit about? What could result from it? To me, the visit about – you come in, you check on him. Is he healthy? If he is, or he's close to being healthy, you feel confident with that. All right, now let's see what else is there. Let's see what's going to be out there. Let's now, if he comes in, you're like, we really, really, really need someone, and he's really healthy, then sure, you make a move. If you're Pittsburgh or you're Buffalo, something like that. But I think a lot of this just kind of has to do with everything kind of putting a puzzle together over the next 7 days.
All right, Sal, we already heard McDermott's going to be speaking at noon, practice at 12:30 today. And then what else is on the docket for this week as they're playing on Saturday, also on the road against Tampa?
Yeah, sorry, just reading something. There was just Todd Bowles said Gielan McMillan has a strained neck. He's going to miss some time. Just looking at some of the news coming across today. Trey Hendrickson, to close on salary in years but not guaranteed money, as reported. So a lot of this stuff coming over today as teams get back to work after the weekend. All right, so speaking of that, Bills on the practice field today at 12:30, Sean McDermott at noon. Tomorrow we'll hear from both coordinators before practice, right around the same time. I think 11:30 is the time there, and then McDermott again on Thursday. He'll meet with the media, shorter practice, travel Friday, Tampa Saturday, game Saturday night. There you go.
There we go. All right, Sal, enjoy practice today. We'll talk again soon.
All right, you got it, guys.
Sal Capaccio there, Sal, on the West Her Hotline. I did come to that conclusion in the middle of that segment with Sal, where I'm like, if Davis looks healthy, Pittsburgh's going to sign him. They'll probably offer him.
He may not even have a meeting with Buffalo tomorrow.
Yeah, he'll have probably more money offered to him. Now, as Sal brought up, he's making around $11 million from the Jags
alone this year. So he doesn't need it this season.
But I also, you know, we're sitting here in Buffalo going, man, is he really just kind of a reserve guy, you know, break glass in case of emergency, where the Steelers are kind of already in that emergency. They don't have a wide receiver, too.
They don't.
And they have a 41-year-old quarterback that already has a shaky offensive line and will need someone else to throw the ball to. I think that absolutely – if he's healthy, I think Pittsburgh gets that done. 803-0550, the number to call. Your thoughts on Gabe Davis, well, maybe potentially visiting the Bills tomorrow. He's expected to. No difference there at this point. And also, if you want to give your thoughts on the defense and if the Bills have done enough as we get ready for the final preseason game. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer here in the Northtown Automotive.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station today on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
Next Point Show, and this is WGR.
I made a comment earlier tonight that I guess went out over the air that I am deeply ashamed of. If I have hurt anyone out there, I can't tell you how much I say from the bottom of my heart, I'm so very, very sorry. I pride myself and think of myself as a man of faith. As there's a drive in a deep left field by Castellanos, it will be a home run. And so that'll make it a 4-0 ball game.
Happy 5 years to Nick Castellanos becoming a meme lord.
I mean, he's got a whole Wikipedia page on he hits home runs when, like, either horrific events happen,
or there's somber
something.
Like, something that should be not normal, and he's ripping a dinger. So, yes, happy 5th year to the original of Nick Castellanos becoming a meme in baseball.
I haven't heard that actual, like, the full clip in probably 4 years. Oh, wow.
Yeah, I texted Josh. I'm like, it's the 5th year, Annie, of Castellanos, and that makes it a 4-0 ball game. So, Castellanos, since then, like you said, there have been several times. One was eulogizing a World War II veteran who died at the age of 97. And while they were doing that eulogy, he rips it. Castellanos does. Rips one. Absolutely. There's even some that you could play fast and loose with the rules on Castellanos and weird things happening. Castellanos' first hit in a Phillies uniform in spring training while they're talking about a Blue Jays pitching coach apologizing for a DUI arrest.
Oh, boy. It's like every time he comes up to bat, you're like, what's going on in the world? What's happening in the sport? Anything. What's going on? Because he's going to do something. It had that feeling. Oh, man.
There was one where they're sending well wishes to former Phillies manager Charlie Manuel. Mm-hmm. He had suffered a stroke. Castellanos hits his second home run of the night while they're talking about it.
Oh, boy.
Like, well, and at least with that one, Manuel made a recovery on that. So, like, that was good. Willie Mays passes away. They weren't talking about Mays, but he hits it that day.
He hits it that day.
An hour later. Like, he has become this strange connection to things happening.
That is 5 years.
And now it is a meme. If something weird happens in the world,
yep,
and the Phillies are playing, how many times do you see in the comments, hammer him hitting a home run. So yeah, so 5 years to the to the day that it first began. Nick Castellanos becoming a meme.
5 years, time's a flat circle. 803-0550, the number to call. Talking Gabe Davis having a visit with the Bills tomorrow following his visit with the Steelers today. It is his second visit with the Steelers. They did appear to have some medical concerns the first time. And then the Bills also getting back to practice today. About 12:30, 12 o'clock, Sean McDermott will be speaking with the media. For more on all of that, you can, of course, follow our own Sal Capaccio at Sal Sports over on Twitter. We'll keep you posted throughout the day. And also want to remind you that Sports Talk on WGR is presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much these days, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL games live every Sunday on CBS and Paramount Plus all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Derek and Zach. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
Hour number two rolls along here in the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com. Before we get your tweets and your calls, there was some breaking news there. In hour number one, didn't get to it, but we have a QB decision in Indianapolis, and a part of me is a little surprised. Derek, Daniel Jones will be the starter for week one when the Colts open up against the Miami Dolphins, not Anthony Richardson. It's, what, 2 years ago? He's a top five pick. I grant you, it has never gone well. Injuries, kind of boneheaded decisions on the field. You hope and pray he can make a 5 yard out. Don't get me wrong. It is one of those indictments of the pick, I guess, in that he didn't start a lot. He was super raw and he was everything you didn't want him to be. And this is maybe where Josh Allen maybe got a lot of people drafted that arguably shouldn't have.
Right.
But I also, it literally is the same with Trey Lance. I wonder if that injury doesn't happen his rookie year. If it turns out better. With Lance, if he doesn't get that ankle injury in year two, does it turn out better?
I would say I was not surprised about this at all, though. Mm-hmm. Because of the fact that if you heard any of what Shane Steichen was saying during the week, it kind of was really pointing towards he was going to start Daniel Jones. Mm-hmm. So it was a read the tea leaves sort of thing. I turned out not to be all that surprised from it. With Richardson, it's just you got to make the easy plays more capably.
Yeah.
And that is his problem. He can't make the easy throws. He'll give you the wow play, but he still can't make the easy throw. And that is not good enough. Not in the NFL. You will not last in any sort of way with that being the case. That said, man, Chris Ballard really doesn't know how to get a quarterback, does he?
No. He's also been in the job 9 years and hasn't once won the division, and the division is the AFC South. So that probably is also a huge indictment on him. It's just
like, he could put together a great roster. Has not figured out under center.
No, and I mean, look, they were stunned by the Andrew Luck stuff, of course. And he was playing at a high level when they finally figured it out. He was shot. He was done. He fell out of love with football. I understand it.
They broke him.
It's just, man, yeah, they haven't been able to figure out the position. Richardson also was kind of the first time they really tried a first-round pick at it. Like, they really did sort of piecemeal together for a number of years in a row. But it's just, like, for Richardson, too, he is going to have to go to a very specific spot to fix his image. As a quarterback, they brought in a bad starter to hopefully make you look good, and you lost the competition.
Yeah, Daniel Jones, I think, really has benefited from not playing football for like 9 months.
Yeah, like where was he? Minnesota. Minnesota loved him as a backup.
Yep.
He had Kevin O'Connell there. Look what Kevin O'Connell did with Sam Darnold. He threw for 4,000 yards. They won 14 games. It's image. Now it's, well, Daniel Jones is a capable starter. Is he?
No.
No.
The answer's still no.
But the image is better. I mean, he hasn't blown anybody away. He hasn't looked that good.
Matter of fact, he didn't look good in the preseason at all.
But I think that's going to be the next thing for Richardson. And realistically, too, treat it like the transfer portal now. You got to get out of there. You got to leave. Demand a trade, whatever, what have you. And to be fair,
just demand your release even.
Yeah, and the team should acquiesce to that. I mean, they really should. Move on, wipe your hands clean of it. And I think Shane Steichen, as the head coach, maybe will want to, just to kind of save his job, just to move on entirely from the Anthony Richardson situation and go on to the next. But back to my point about backup quarterbacks and being a little bit more interesting, I would love the Bills to throw a sixth-round pick into this. I would.
I don't know if he's even worth that.
No, but about image, I can sell someone on that he might be.
No, I'm saying you can get him for less.
Oh, you can get it for less. Okay. I don't know, because he's still a quarterback with all the tools, and this will be his first team. There will be somebody out there that goes, I can fix him.
I can fix him. That someone doesn't have to pay a sixth-round pick to do that.
No, but we're going to have to wait a little while to do that. The value is going to have to really depreciate. And that's the thing with Daniel Jones, too. Richardson, I think, will play games this year.
He will play for the Colts, mm-hmm. I do believe. Unless he asks for his release or demands a trade, he will play games for the Colts this year. Why? Because it's Daniel Jones.
Yeah.
The one person I really do feel for here in this is Shane Steichen and the rest of the Colts roster. Because you brought in Daniel Jones, who we've both said is unequivocally bad,
mm-hmm.
as a confidence boost to try to help your young gun get back to what it is. Or what he could be.
What he could be, yeah.
Which was that rookie season had a lot of promise to him. It really did. The stat line says only 3 touchdowns and 1 interception on there, but like in 4 games, he looked good.
Well, and
the completion percentage was higher.
Mm-hmm.
He was still like it was still sub 60, but it was still much higher. He still was looking like a very unique prospect. He was looking really kind of the part. Then he takes that first injury and his season's over after 4 games. He even gets hurt, comes back and gets hurt again.
That was the big part of it. He was just picking up injuries. He looked like what you wanted in his rookie year, which was he'll be raw, but you're going to love him in fantasy. He had 4 rushing touchdowns.
He did.
He looked the part, quote unquote, the part of a young, raw guy who needs experience. He needs starts. And that's why I do bring up Lance, because the injuries. You mentioned it. He played 4 games in his rookie year. Lance doesn't play it as all his rookie year. Gets the start in year 2. By week 2,
he's carted off.
He's carted off the field. His season's gone. And the team
moves on. His career
basically
didn't exist.
Yeah, the team moves on. They get Brock Purdy, and well, you know, that's the story in San Francisco. They move on Brock Purdy. Daniel Jones, I do not think he's going to be Brock Purdy. Don't get me wrong. But
the Colts don't have a Brock Purdy on their roster.
But with these guys, and I do Lance and Richardson specifically, high-end athletes that are very raw, but the potential's through the roof, they need to play games. Even Allen, who does get hurt in his rookie year, ultimately starts playing early and then finishes out the year. He still plays a ton of games for the Bills in both year 1 and year 2. He doesn't pick up that injury that really stymies his development. He doesn't. And so then by year 3, he's played a season and a half of football based off the – he only misses, I think, like 4 games in his rookie year.
Correct.
So he plays effectively 2 seasons. So year 3, the jump happens. He's not dealing with these lingering injuries where Lance and Richardson, who needed to play even more than he did, because he at least had two full starting seasons at Wyoming, they needed to play even more than he did. They don't get it. Lance, I'll say it, has maybe the worst luck of any quarterback drafted in the last 15 years. You can talk about the team he went to, but he deals with a generational pandemic that takes away his entire season in 2020, the season in which North Dakota State probably would have leaned on him more as he was going to be a first-round draft pick. He didn't throw a single pick in the year prior, but then only gets a showcase game, and that's it. He doesn't play particularly well in that game either. But that's all he gets. Then he gets to San Francisco, has to sit a full year, a disastrous decision by them ultimately in terms of Lance's development, and then year 2 he gets hurt, 2 games in. We have no idea what he could – and that's why I get excited whenever he plays, is because it's the fact that he's playing football. Yes. Richardson is probably the same thing, but injuries have sort of taken that away from him. And then you also add in the fact that he has done some boneheaded things.
Like?
Taking himself out of a game because he's tired.
Yeah, that one is – I understand the main sentiment on that, but honestly – ready? Have something else happen there instead of taking yourself out, which there's some sort of like noble thing about it of like, I know I'm not the best player on the field mm-hmm. right now, which other players at other positions could do that.
Yeah.
But that said, man, you're an NFL quarterback and you're getting tired. What are we doing here? I do think, though, that all you had to do to save your image on that one is, ready? Oh, no. The communication wasn't all there. I couldn't hear it in my helmet. We got to take a timeout.
But in all seriousness,
That would have saved him.
That stuff, though, I think that comes with playing the game more. You learn to game the system. Yeah, I am tired. I feel like I'm going to throw up. Guys, I can't hear.
Yeah.
I can't hear. It's it.
It's so evil to think that kind of a thought, but like, especially because it could hurt your team in the end that you waste a timeout because you are in that condition. But sure. Also, ready? If you have to take yourself off the field,
it's hurting your team.
Go down.
Yeah.
Don't get back up. He ran around like a lunatic on that last play.
There's ways to game
then
the system.
There's an injury timeout mm-hmm. then.
There's ways to game the system. Vets do it all the time. We'll joke about it. Every good veteran quarterback flops.
Yes.
Some are way better at it than others.
Josh Allen is built like a linebacker, and he flops around.
You game the system. And I'm not saying he would have learned all of that if he played his entire rookie year.
He flops around sometimes.
I'm not saying his career is completely different if he plays his whole rookie year. But I do think some of it is different. I think there are far more positive signs. He may be still a bust. I'm not saying that everyone is going to be different if they played more.
Probably not the player that his potential always showcased.
Yeah, and it isn't clear as day that he is not good enough. And that's really the struggle for him.
And it was never even really all that clear at Florida either.
Mm-hmm.
The Colts decided to take a swing at it. Why not? Because.
Well, because if you nail it, he realistically...
If you nail it, you don't have to sign Daniel Jones.
Yeah, and this is still true, because it's all about potential. He had the potential to be the best athlete to ever play the quarterback position. He is Josh Allen, but fast as hell.
Mm-hmm.
He has the bazooka of an arm, the whole thing. But, you know, always, you know, it's hindsight's 20/20. Looking back on it, he was never a particularly dominant athlete at Florida either. He had all of the tools... But like, so did guys like Paxton Lynch. It didn't change anything. Like, it's great that you're tall, big, and strong. You're not a particularly good quarterback, and that's ultimately where Richardson falls into. 803-0550, the number to call. In the first hour, we're talking a lot about Gabe Davis. He is going to be having a visit with the Bills, although we'll see. I mean, if he's healthy, Pittsburgh could sign him before that visit even becomes a thing. I think Pittsburgh has a real need at wide receiver, too. Loved hearing from a lot of people, and then even talking with Sal, too. It may not be apples to oranges in terms of him competing against certain guys. Would you take Shavers over Davis? That kind of stuff. It could just be more they're doing their due diligence. A lot of guys are going to become available around this time next week with the preseason over with. Kind of find out. See what you got. Are you healthy? Could you help us down the line? I'm not someone that's particularly interested in going after Gabe Davis. But that's also partially because, you know, Sal pushed back on the practice squad thing. But that's really all I'd want him for. Is a role there of he would come on to be insurance in case Coleman or Shavers got hurt.
Correct.
That's really all I'd want him for.
You'd want him as boundary receiver number three, basically.
Mm-hmm.
X receiver number three. That's it. I don't really see another reason why the Bills would kick the tires on Davis like that if not for that fact. And we'll see, obviously. Like Sal said, he may not even make it to his Buffalo visit. Maybe Pittsburgh gives him a clean bill of health and they sign him.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something that you've definitely said. Pittsburgh is not very good with their depth chart. They could use a player like Gabe Davis far more than Buffalo could.
Well, here, let's just look at their current wide receiver room.
Hit me.
We know DK Metcalf.
Right, and good player.
You're then getting to Robert Woods, who is, by the way, 33.
Not the same player he used to be.
Roman Wilson, second-year player out of Michigan. I think he also missed most of his rookie year. Yeah, he only played in one game.
Wilson was a raw prospect anyway, a player that had one of those little vinyl stickers on the wide receiver big board, but only thought of him as like a third-rounder at best anyway.
Mm-hmm. Then you have Keyshawn Williams.
Okay.
Scotty Miller. Lance McCutcheon. Brandon Johnson. Calvin Austin.
Calvin Austin, I know, is their return man.
Yeah.
You mentioned guys. A lot of
just dudes.
A lot of Jags. Just a guy.
If he's healthy, I don't know how he actually gets to his meeting with Buffalo. Unless he's like, I got to take both.
Unless he wants to.
That point is a team. Seriously,
I'm here for anyone. I'm here for anyone that's loyal to the crest, though.
And I haven't heard anything on Roman Wilson. Maybe he's having an incredible camp, and it's great. I look at this, though, and I'm like, I don't see anything good. I don't see anything good here. Outside of DK Metcalf. And Metcalf himself as well.
Probably overpaid.
Bit overpaid. And I don't want to say one-trick pony. That's not fair. But he has his role. He has his thing. It is not to be a volume target guy. And when you have a 41-year-old quarterback, who, by the way, also doesn't really have a particularly good offensive line, I think Gabe Davis is getting signed by Pittsburgh. Maybe. If he is healthy, I think Pittsburgh signs him.
Maybe that's why Aaron Rodgers really did wait so long. He's like, do I really have to do this?
I could totally see that. Honestly, in a world, too, where
do
it's
I
like,
really have to do this?
They're the only team looking at me. I think I'm kind of done. I mean, he's outright acknowledged that this is probably it. The offensive line is not good. Their receiver room is not good. Defense might be. And he's like, maybe. We'll see. It could lead him to get into the playoffs one more time.
Sure.
That's really all I got is it could, but maybe could. Not.
And could you imagine he's the one that breaks the Steelers' non-losing record streak?
Mm-hmm.
That would be a tip on the cap of the how the mighty have fallen narrative that he has definitely been running with for these last couple of years. His last starting season in Green Bay and then his one actual season that he plays with the Jets.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, the Achilles tear. And it's weird because Rodgers does have such a long, illustrious, fantastic career. There is a Super Bowl in there. It's almost a crime that he only has one.
He's only been to one.
And part of that, though, is he has also had games in the postseason where he has failed to deliver on expectations.
Mm-hmm. A lot of them against San Francisco, especially at home, too.
Yes. So you kind of look at it and go, okay, yeah, it kind of makes sense. Even though he had such a great career.
I would argue his peak, and I would say like the year before he wins the Super Bowl until, 2018, 2019, he was
even
maybe,
2020.
Yeah, he was maybe my favorite football player. Like not a Bills player, but like who's going to get me to a TV? Rodgers was probably the first name for me.
Josh Allen's best run at an MVP
is ruined
until last
by Rodgers.
Year. Was ruined by Rodgers.
Mm-hmm. He is probably my favorite football player that's not on the Bills. That run there, again, like I need to get to a television. This player's he was that guy for me because I was really when I got into football, Manning and Brady had already established themselves.
Right,
like you know, I'm a wee lad when those two are getting good.
I'm a wee lad
when those two are getting good. So like I didn't grow up with them. Rodgers, I remember watching the draft and seeing his face, and then not hearing about him for years, and then he pops up, and then he's awesome. You know, the James Stark Super Bowl against Pittsburgh, which that's exactly what I'm going to call it that. You know, he's on that Green Bay team, and he's having a good Super Bowl, but Rodgers is dynamic as hell, and he's awesome. And then you also have the years to, you know, the relax. You know, they're going to be fine. They rattle off like four straight wins to go to the playoffs.
And they make the playoffs. The ownership of the Chicago Bears.
There was something
where the city of Chicago rightfully took it personally.
And they should have, yes.
I would take it personally at that point. Like, Brady against the Bills? Like, yeah, he did it to everybody. But in particular, Rodgers against Chicago? Yeah, I would take that one more personally. Because when it was Brady with the Bills, it was also the Patriots as a whole.
Oh, yeah.
Brady obviously was Brady, but there were games where he struggled and
they would still be fine.
They'd still whoop on the Bills. Or he didn't have to do anything at all. He wouldn't have to lift a finger.
Mm-hmm.
Aaron Rodgers? No, it was all just hell. when the Chicago Bears had to face Aaron Rodgers and the Packers.
Yeah, just it will be somewhat of a sad way to see his career go out.
Oh, and he has one more time to make it hell on the Chicago Bears.
Does Pittsburgh play him this year?
Yes.
Oh, fantastic.
That was how we got our hint of, oh, he's actually going to sign with the Steelers.
Yeah. Week 12 at Chicago. Hell yeah.
Yep. Oh, they were wearing those weird goofy uniforms then.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Could you imagine, like, you're trying... Oh, wait. Hang on.
I have way less excitement for that game now. Way... I mean, it wasn't high. I just found out about it now.
Or is that against Green Bay that they're doing that?
Might be against Green Bay.
Yeah, it might be Green Bay. But either way, those jerseys, not great. But Rodgers has a chance to get a win against his old club. And... Oh, he's on the road against the Bears. Yeah, the goofy uniforms are against the Packers.
It's amazing. But yeah, the kid in me has not liked how his career's ended.
Right.
Going to the Jets and...
Becoming this insufferable person.
Yeah,
persona as well.
It's more just insufferable. I haven't really enjoyed that at all because growing up, he was one of my favorite. And I'm not a Jersey guy. Outside of the teams that I follow, he was probably the closest I got to getting a jersey of a player that I don't follow the team. I actually don't like the Packers at all. I didn't for a long time. I thought they were ridiculous. But Rodgers was like that stalwart. I absolutely loved them. And it's going to be kind of weird like to see him also go away because I'm also now noticing too when people do like the age brackets for quarterbacks, like Mahomes and Allen are no longer young guys. They're on the third tier with like the fourth being like Matthew Stafford at 36. And I'm like, oh, we are kind of getting long in the tooth, aren't we?
Yes, we are.
It's a bit wild. But yeah, Pittsburgh, I absolutely could see signing Gabe Davis because they need to. Like you see the depth chart there at wide receiver two past DK Metcalf. It is a cavern, and it is not good. Let's get connected to our fans, brought to you by Northtown Kia. Shop online at northtownkia.com. Before the Gabe Davis news kind of went out there, I threw up today on Twitter, you know, with us going into the last preseason game of the year and the defense being very much a story, do you think the Bills have done enough on defense to be a better unit than last year? James tweets in, there is no real way of knowing at this point. And given where the Bills are, we won't know until the calendar flips in January of 26. If Benford, Milano, Bosa, and Hoyt are all healthy heading into the playoffs, I think the answer will be yes, but will those things happen? ... And it's kind of like where I'm getting to, and it's also to kind of like keep my sanity going, Derek, but if Bishop, let's say, for argument's sake, continues to struggle going the year, but he is getting better, like week one, not great, not terrible, and he's getting better and better and better. That's fine. The Bills are not a team that is a fringe playoff team. Yes, they are hunting the one seed, and you want to beat Baltimore week one, of course. They did also beat Baltimore without Bishop on the field. I think that was Hamlin and Rapp starting at safety.
Yes.
They also were doing that with the defensive line that they then had to retool. And you don't have...
And did retool.
And they did retool.
Aggressively. Now,
of course, you won't have Hoyt and Ogunjobi, don't get me wrong. But they did make a lot of moves on the defense. So I think they can absolutely still beat Baltimore, even if Bishop's not a particularly good safety right out of the gate. But I think James is on that. Like, for me, I care how they're going to be looking at the end of the year. I care about January. I look at the Philadelphia Eagles defense last year. You look at a lot of their numbers, doesn't look all that particularly impressive. I think the Bills had more QB pressures than they did. But by the end of the year, everything worked. Carter is a hellraiser. Cooper DeJean and Quinyon Mitchell really got into their stride as rookies and started pushing forward. And then it hit. And now we all look at the Eagles as a super team. But up to that point, I mean,
they were actually – plates were wobbly even in the divisional round. The Rams almost come back and beat them.
But they got right. I mean, they essentially just got right. And so that's a big thing for me is I want to see improvements as the year goes on because January for these guys is when it's going to matter.
I'm thinking, like, looking back on that now, like, thank goodness the Eagles did actually win because they probably would have been the only one that I would trust to beat the Chiefs outside of, like, considering that the NFC Championship would have been Rams and Commanders.
Yeah.
Do you trust either of those teams to beat Kansas City?
Probably not. And then real quick, before we take our next time out, Bennett tweets in, we don't really know. I like some of the stuff others that seem to be totally ignoring, safety for instance, and some were plugged in by old, always hurt guys that were once great. Can they stay healthy? Joey Bosa, of course, being that kind of big name. And can they be good still? Guess time will tell. Still very concerned, though. And I think that's fair. I think it's fair to be concerned because it is a completely retooled unit. in the preseason hasn't really made you feel all that great. Against the Giants and the Bears, the defense gave up a lot of yards and a lot of points. But it is still the preseason, and the coaching staff has acknowledged openly they do not game plan. And even last week, or well, this Sunday, the starters did not play outside of Bishop, which in and of itself could have been a reason why Bishop didn't play particularly well. He's with a bunch of backups. 803-0550, the number two call. Head coach Sean McDermott going to be speaking with the media at 12 o'clock for a 12:30 practice as the Bills get ready for their final preseason game of the year, taking on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in Tampa on Saturday. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer, you're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show, and this is WGR. That was former Bills wide receiver Gabe Davis earlier this summer with Kay Adams. Talking about, yeah, he would want to come back to Buffalo. I mean, of course, his time in Jacksonville did not go well. He got paid, though.
He got paid. But it did not go well.
And to be fair, I think most of us assumed that was not going to go well.
Yeah, I also think it was... It's weird because he goes to Jacksonville. They don't really have... It seemed like almost like a redundancy that he went there because Christian Kirk and all this, and they draft Brian Thomas. They really invest in the position,
mm-hmm.
and Davis is effectively the odd man out. And then he gets hurt and is done anyway. Kind of puts all the hard decision making for Jacksonville out of the way.
Yeah, and they do pay him a pretty penny. 3 years, $39 million, $11 million signing bonus, and then guaranteed at signing, $24 million. Also, of course, as we just talked about this with running backs, it does tell you the inflation in contracts with the wide receiver position. His average salary was $13 million a year.
Yeah, it's – I don't know how you need to really – look at Gabe Davis at this point. It was a nice discussion with Sal Capaccio about that, though, with maybe it is more about a focus on kicking the tires about a 53-man spot.
Mm-hmm. A lot of guys will become available around this time next week.
But also a lot of guys become available. For Davis, you're doing him a favor of, we'll look at you first. Before everyone comes available,
mm-hmm.
we'll give you a look first. And... say he's healthy enough to go out right now, right? How you feeling? You want to trot out against Tampa Bay? We could use some bodies.
And that's a thing, too, is maybe that is part of this as well, because you brought up with Sal. Like, they've already made some signings because, well, starters probably aren't going to play again. And then what, you're going to just have Frank Gore out there as running back? No, you got to bring somebody else in. Maybe that's true of the wide receivers as well, of like, you know, especially he's been somebody that clearly has been dealing with some health issues. The report out of Pittsburgh is they're bringing him back in today for a second visit because there were some concerns with his health in his first visit. So if he's healthy and he doesn't sign with Pittsburgh and he does sign with Buffalo, it would get him some game reps and some game action real quick. You know what? He'd be here for 3 days before that ultimately ends up happening.
Right.
It'd be a quick turnaround, but that's
also... you have a chance to put some tape out there being like, hey, I'm good.
Yeah, that's welcome to week three of the preseason where everything's a quick turnaround. We need guys on the field so that our starters or our roster players aren't getting hurt.
And also you have a chance for teams to look at you and go, okay, so he's all right.
Yeah, good. Absolutely.
Good. That's how you look at that. That's how you need that to look.
I just, like, I mentioned it earlier when this stuff was breaking. At least I put it on social media. I don't want Davis's career to end. He was not a bad Bill. I have his jersey. I'm part of the reason why his career went to hell. I acknowledge that. I bought his jersey and it went badly. I acknowledge that. But it doesn't mean I want his career to end. I just don't really want the Bills to go back to that well. I've mentioned it a lot.
Right.
I do not like when teams go back to the old reliable. They know the system. We trust them. They may not be particularly good, but we need to put guys on the field. And you know, for some fans, it's a big, nice reunion, what have you. We went through this last year with Micah Hyde when the safety room was begging for help. A lot of fans wanted the guy that openly acknowledged he does not see a route where he plays unless it's, oh, God, no one's healthy and I need to.
Right.
You know, I've already seen the reports of Jordan Poyer this week. Because the safeties didn't look good in a preseason game.
And I don't know if it was reports. It was just
words. Excuse me. Words. Yes. Thank you. I've already seen people want that to happen. No.
That's okay to be wrong. It's all right. Like, not you. Mm-hmm. People that want Jordan Poyer back. No. It's okay.
And I've acknowledged it with Trey White that while I'm okay with Trey White being cornerback number two for week one, a lot of it was under the impression, though, or at least for me, the assumption – Cool, but by week six or seven, Harrison takes over, and White becomes a really nice backup. And now, of course, has to become, it doesn't really matter if Harrison was catching him, he was hurt. You know, it's going to have to be Trey White. But that's always been my thing. I am always somebody that's looking to the next generation, the next wave of players coming in, rather than going back to the old reliables, going back to the guys you trust, what have you. Because ultimately, it's never what you had before. It never is. So even that, bringing in Gabe Davis, don't give me what he did in 21 or 20, 22. What did he do in 23 when he was last with the Bills? What did he do in 24 before he got hurt? Because that's ultimately the player you're getting. That's the one that's coming back. Not the guy that you initially really liked and believed he could be a wide receiver too, or at least some of us did. That's not the guy you're getting back. It's the same. Ultimately, it is the same with Micah Hyde and Jordan Poyer.
Right.
Do not go back to 5, 6 years ago. Don't even go back 3 or 4 years ago. Go back to now. Micah Hyde mentioning, yeah, unless everyone's hurt, I'm not playing. Jordan Poyer, we talked about it because he was on a division rival. He looked slow.
He looked cooked.
He arguably hurt people because he couldn't move at the same speed. His mind knew where he needed to go. He could not move at the same speed. I think that's where the Keon Coleman injury comes from. He's just a step slower.
He's a step slower. That hit probably goes a little higher into the chest, not into his wrist. And maybe. And
it's the same. It's the same with Trey White too. Like I think a fair question is how much do you actually trust him to be cornerback two next to Benford? Are we sure this is going to work out?
This decision was made because Harrison got hurt.
Yeah. Even though and we've talked to Sal, White clearly had the early lead. We don't know how that goes, though, the rest of the preseason. Harrison maybe starts to pop, and they're like, yeah, no, Harrison's going to be cornerback two to start. We don't know. He's been hurt for a number of weeks now.
Correct.
And same with Trey White. Don't give me the all-pro stats. He's not that player
anymore. He's not that player.
And that's where I've been.
Or he has to prove that he is that player again.
And that's where I've been very slow to kind of wrap my arms around Matt Milano being back. It's taken me a while here, and even still I'm very apprehensive because ultimately – it's been a few years since then. It's hard for me to, and it's the same with good going back to bad.
Right.
You know, Josh Allen now, if he starts this year kind of rough, it's going to take me a little while before I'm like, he's having a bad season or something's wrong because we've had so many good seasons in a row. It's the same with, we've had very few good seasons here. Are we sure this is going to work? Whether it be to injury or just passage of time. Josh Palmer. Why can't many of us, you know, wrap our arms around him? Well, his last good year was 2 years ago, 3 years ago.
Right.
Are we sure about that? It's why many of us go to Micah Parsons, Trey Hendrickson, Myles Garrett when we're talking about getting a good pass rusher. Because Joey Bosa can't stay healthy in his last good years ago, where Parsons was awesome last year. Hendrickson led the league in sacks last year.
Yeah, it's not very distant. And, yeah, there's something about going back to the well that you don't always need to do it. And, like, a lot of teams do this. This is not a Bills exclusive.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely. It's an NFL. It's a pro sports thing.
It is a pro sports thing that you go back to the well because, you know, this guy knows the system. Here's the thing. There are core concepts that are probably going to be the same. But Joe Brady is not the same system. As a matter of fact, it was the system you ultimately struggled more times than not in.
Mm-hmm.
It is more balanced in run not run centric, but like it's more balanced with the run game. So his capabilities as a blocker, Gabe Davis's, would be valued. But if I'm signing a wide receiver to be a blocker,
well, then the vet minimum feels a lot better.
Well, no, not just that. Then I don't know where your priorities lie, because a wide receiver is still a receiver. Not a primary blocker. Right. And, yeah, they have that. They had that with Davis. Mac Hollins was able to bring a good portion of that as well. But Hollins also had special teams capability in there as well. I don't know if Gabe Davis ever played special teams with the Bills.
Yeah, I'm not 100% sure on that. Especially his rookie year. It's not that he popped, but he had a very clear role as rookie year. He had 35 catches, 7 touchdowns.
Right.
He was used as a receiver very quickly. I mean, he's a fourth-round pick. It's not like he was a seventh-round pick and they discovered him. He's a fourth-rounder out of UCF. He was good. But, yeah, I mean, look, it's sort of an inconsequential potential signing, I think it does point, though, to some things. I know a lot of people will look at the wide receiver room again and start banging the drum of why did the GM complain then about people complaining about the lack of wide receiver moves when the next day they go out and sign Elijah Moore. Now they're, you know, looking back at Gabe Davis, what have you. I think a lot of this is what Sal said. It's just doing due diligence. I mentioned practice squad. Maybe that's not the route they go down. But if he doesn't have a job by next week, kind of want to be on a roster.
Right.
I could absolutely see that. And then, you know, at least for me, look, the Elijah Moore thing hasn't worked out. I've really liked what I've seen from Tyrell Shavers. It's two straight camps that he's looked pretty darn good. And now every preseason game, he has had something pop where you're like, okay, there you go. He had the big catch against the Giants, but he cooked his guy in the second half. Was it the second half or late first? I think it was late first.
Yes.
And it's just missed by Mike White. But he cooked his guy. And you're like, that's what I'm looking for. That's what those individual performances are what you're looking for.
Mm-hmm.
Is just, yep, he got a win on one-on-one. It was perfect.
Yeah, can you be reliable and consistent enough as the boundary receiver in case we need you to take some snaps? Is simply what this is.
Mm-hmm.
And now, okay, if there's another potential for an insurance policy for that in case Shavers has to be the primary X for a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
If there's an injury to Palmer or Coleman on the outside, you need somebody that can play boundary receiver for you.
Yep.
Then having insurance is never a bad thing. That's why I still will say, like, say the Bills and Davis, they have their visit, nothing gets done. That might be, hey, man, we know what the market is about you. We will bring you to the practice squad. Because they've done this before with players.
Mm-hmm.
Most notably, I mean, last year it was Micah Hyde. Micah Hyde gets a practice squad spot. They don't guarantee any sort of playing time, but they do the man a solid.
Yeah.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station today on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
He's in the locker room, the whole thing.
He's in the locker room. They get him for that. And then Gabe Davis could be the same thing. You get him in the locker room so he can get comfortable, and then maybe into the season he is part of the 53.
Right. 803-0550, the number to call. We have not even mentioned it once today, but episode 3 of Hard Knocks premieres tonight on HBO. I want to say it's at 9 o'clock. 9 o'clock. I keep forgetting that. I know it's 9 o'clock, but the day of, I'm like, it's 8 o'clock. It's not. 9 o'clock over on HBO, episode number 3 of Bill's Hard Knocks. There's only 5 total episodes, so after tonight, only 2 more. And then also, something that I've talked about a lot, I'm very excited to eventually watch when I get the time, is over on Netflix. America's Team, The Gambler and His Cowboys, Jerry Jones, the 90s Cowboys, the building of all that. That is also up starting today over on Netflix. So some pretty good sports watches for you tonight as we wait for the Bills' final preseason game on Saturday. Again, 803-0550, the number to call. Sabres Live coming up at 12 o'clock. You're listening to WGR.
Tonight on SportsCenter, the preseason Monday Nighter certainly did not disappoint in D.C. While an old D.C. star powered up the Phillies against the Mariners twice. In Pittsburgh, Paul Skeens actually got runs, 2 of them. Was it enough against Toronto? But really, sometimes you gotta keep it simple and direct.
Why didn't you go down?
I wanted to score.
This show is all about strolling down memory lane. No, not about having hair. It's about throwing a whole bunch at you while having an old school good time. So, stay tuned and don't flip out. SportsCenter is next.
This is not SportsCenter.
Yeah, but for the first time in 22 years, last night Rich Eisen was on SportsCenter.
Those were actually his first words immediately after that opening crawl. For the first time in 22 years, hello, I'm Rich Eisen, and this is SportsCenter.
That was really cool to watch last night. I will tell you, though, obviously being 22 years ago, I was 5 or 6 when Eisen stops doing it. I know him much more as a host on NFL Network.
Right.
That's the Rich Eisen I know, but I always knew where he started, him and Stuart Scott and all of the really iconic clips of the two of them.
And
even I got goose. I didn't watch it live. I watched the clips later on in the night, and I got goosebumps hearing it, like, you know, the SportsCenter, you know, jingle, the chime that it has and everything. It was awesome.
The saxophone.
The saxophone's great.
The saxophone really brings it out of you. But also a beautiful tribute to Stuart Scott.
Mm-hmm.
Mentioning several times in that tribute, there should be someone in this chair next to me right now. Which, it was a beautiful sentiment from Rich Eisen. And he even puts a little bit of Stuart Scott's catchphrases into the next game. He looks at the Bears-Brewers game.
Mm-hmm.
Or Cubs-Brewers game. I'm a genius.
You got there.
But it was a beautiful sentiment. But now, here comes the fallacy. Are you ready? This does nothing for ESPN. All it does is gives us good feelings.
The nostalgia hits hard.
The nostalgia hits you. But ready? Say ESPN does this long term now with SportsCenter. They try to make it back into a little bit of a hybrid of what it was and what it is now. It does nothing for ESPN's programming. Because First Take still exists. Every one of your yelly, screamy shows still exists.
Mm-hmm.
If SportsCenter is better and improved, it only fixes some of your programming, often late.
Yeah.
When the East Coast might be heading to bed. It doesn't fix Get Up. It doesn't fix First Take.
It kind of doesn't also fix like NFL where Live sports is your gone.
Only NFL Live is your only good show when it comes to not having constant hot takes thrown at each other.
But I also think, like, too, with SportsCenter, like, it, you know, SportsCenter was great, you know, 22 years ago, right, when Eisen and Stewart are on together. It's also because none of us had phones where you can go on social media and see the highlights right away.
Even if they didn't care.
SportsCenter was appointment television. It won't be that anymore.
Even if you fly in the face of that and you still try to do it anyway.
Mm-hmm.
People would watch.
Will. Yeah, it, for at least a little while.
People would watch. The problem is it doesn't fix the rest of your programming, mm-hmm. and not enough people will be brought back for that.
Yeah.
Even if you try to fly in the face of modern day technology and you decide to have anchors taking care of highlights for it, I would absolutely watch that. But I also know that it would fix nothing about mm-hmm. what the network's direction has gone in and what sports discourse shows have become.
And it's all been, about and have yelling. Been for a while. They it's have all, been that for a while.
It's all about yelling and screaming at each other. And it's all about putting the hot take out there that will make the rounds on social media after mm-hmm. that. Hey, can you believe that Stephen A. said this? Hey, can you believe that Chris Canty said that he has a 1 on a scale of 1 to 10 on Josh Allen making it to the Super Bowl eventually? Those clips make the rounds. That's why Around the Horn died. Because good journalists made good points.
But they were often less sexy. They were less
they
fun.
They don't go yeah. back into the internet. They don't get recycled
mm-hmm.
when you make good points. You only get that when you get bad points. But that's all the time we've got here today. Sabres Live coming up next here on WGR.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station today on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.